Good afternoon. And I'd like to say hi to everybody on the web as well as those here. I guess I'll just start out with a question. Why are we here today? We were here basically because we believe what God says. And God tells us that we're supposed to learn. So what I'd have for a title today is We Are Called to Learn. That is the purpose of why we're here. Why did God call us? Why did God open our minds? I mean, I've asked that question a lot of times for myself. It's like, why me? I mean, I just like, why did God choose me? God has a purpose for each of us, and he sees a value in us and has a goal for us. So we're called to learn God's way of life. We're not just called to be a social club, just to come and talk each week and say hi to everybody, but yet that's part of it. Because God tells us that we're not to forsake assembling. There's a purpose in assembling, and that is important, but it's not just a social club. We're not called just to feel good about ourselves. A lot of churches in the world, it's just kind of a go feel good about yourself, have them say nice things, things that aren't challenging to us maybe. Yet God calls us and tells us to repent right off the bat, says we need to change. That is the purpose, is to learn. So the world says, has a common phrase, just as I am. Just as I am, I'll come before Jesus, however they want to say it. And that doesn't work out so well. God will not have us in his kingdom just as we are. Plain and simple. We have to change or we won't be a part of his family and kingdom. He expects change. He expects growth. And we must learn his way of life and to understand why he teaches us those things. You know, the Bible says to grow in grace and knowledge. God wants us to understand and learn. And, you know, I'd like to just start out with Acts 2:38, which is a very common verse in the Bible. That's where our beginning in this church does start. Acts 2:38. So God opens our minds, and then the first thing he tells us is in verse 28, or let's see here, 38, sorry about that. And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God starts out with saying, okay, here, I'm going to call you out of this world. You're a sinner. You need to change. That's pretty blunt, but that's the way God tells us. We have to start out in a learning process. We must admit we're wrong. We must admit we need to change. Otherwise, we never grow. To free our lives of sin is God's challenge in this world, to get us to understand that his way works, the world's doesn't. And to develop our minds in a way that pleases him. We need to live our lives in a way that pleases God. We're not trying to impress people around us. Otherwise, that's all we get, is just somebody giving you a compliment. God wants us to desire to follow him and to please him. You know, God wants, like the Bible says, fruits of the Holy Spirit. God expects us to produce fruits. God also tells us, as parents, to teach our children. Because he wants us to pass on that way of life and to give them that opportunity to learn. I'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And starting in verse 17. Romans 9, starting 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show you my power in you, and that my name might be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. So God can do what he wants with people, and for a purpose. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? And so that's a question I do want to ask there is, why would we resist his will? He wants to do something for us to help us. Why would we resist that? Indeed, O man, Who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who is formed, why have you made me like this? Does a potter not have power over the clay? So we are made of the ground, and God is forming us. And we're not in a very good spot to argue with God of what he's making, because he made us. He knows what makes us happy. He knows what will make us ultimately that true happiness. He knows that. So if we let him mold us, then we will be perfect someday. We have to become perfect because it's God's design. We have to let God form us. If we resist being molded through this life, we will not be in God's kingdom. It's that simple. We want to be a part of God's family. We need to let him form us into that perfect individual. Learning is always hard. Whether it's in school, it's difficult. You have to take tests. You have to go through all the process. You have to study. And right off the bat, God tells us that it's going to be hard. Learning is hard. You know, God says, narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. Through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom. They'll persecute you as they did me. And then Satan seeks to destroy us like a lion. So there's all these things that show we're going to face hardship and difficulties. And that is part of the process. That helps us learn. You know, the saying that those things that don't kill us make us stronger, it's true. I don't like it, but it's true. I've tested that theory a lot in my life, but it's just like, it is true. We learn from the hardships. So, you know, like speaking of Satan destroying us like a lion, have you ever watched a cat? I mean, we like cats. We have house cats at home. They stay outside, but we have these cats. And a cat will crouch down, kind of shuffle its feet back and forth, little ears point forward, and it just looks, and its tail is just slowly twitching back and forth. A cat is watching and very patient and waiting for that prey to make a mistake, to become unaware. That's what Satan does to us, just like a cat does. And I wouldn't want to be on the cat's watch list because they're effective. They do a good job at what they do. I'd like to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, just like a cat. He's watching for those weak moments. And we have to be vigilant and watch for those. We have to make sure that we're not letting down because of trials and difficulties. We have to stay focused on God's kingdom, know that God's there for us at all times, and yet it's still hard. But we must stay alert if we expect to survive. You know, in school we have pop quizzes and stuff like that, and you never know when those quizzes come up, and it's the same in life. We need to be prepared all the time, because we never know when those hardships come along. We know we are here because God the Father draws us and calls us to the understanding. And I'll just turn there, John 6:44. Let's turn there and look at that real quick. John chapter 6, verse 44. And some of these are just real common things, but they're good reminders still. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last days. So it's like God the Father calls us, presents us to Jesus Christ to work with us and develop us. And there is a verse in the Bible, I don't remember right offhand, where it says he'll present that back to the Father when he has all things under his control. So it's a team effort between them. They're working on this goal together. But God calls us, and we're chosen by God personally. And like I said at the beginning, why? Why did God choose us? What did he see in us? Does he like an extremely difficult challenge? That's kind of the way I look at it. God likes a challenge. He called me. And that's not a compliment to me, but it's just like, Maybe God wants to take the least of the world and make them, like it says, the greatest. He can use the least and turn them into the greatest. So it's not about us, it's about what God sees. We're all called from different places or different beginnings. Paul was persecuting the Christians. Probably a lot of them died because of that. Then he was struck down and God opened his mind. Then he became a Christian. He became what he was persecuting. And he was very zealous about that. And the Bible, it says he considered himself the least because he knew where he came from. And God opened his mind and humbled him. And obviously that stayed with him because he considered himself the least of many brethren. But it was for his benefit that God humbled him. He was probably a pretty respected person in the worldly community because of what he'd done. Then he became highly respected in God's church for what he was doing. You know, some are called from really rough backgrounds. Some were raised in a church. I was raised in a church, which I consider a blessing because I can't imagine the trouble that I got into not being raised in the church. That gave me a lot of guidance early on, which I appreciate. But it doesn't matter where we start. It doesn't matter at all. It matters where we go with it. You know, we're not limited by the starting point. We're limited by what we do with that. All that matters is where we end up, plain and simple. I'd like to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 26. When a righteous man turns away from righteousness and commits iniquity, he dies in it. It's because of his iniquity, which he has done, that he dies. So a righteous person turning bad. And that's a shame when your mind's open and a person would turn that way. And again it says, again, when a wicked man turns away from wickedness, which he committed, and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live and he shall not die. So this shows that it's what we do with what we have. If you throw it away, you lose out. If you turn from those wrong ways and go to the right way, that God's way, then we can live and eventually eternal life. So we have to make sure we choose the direction that we want to go, what's important to us. You know, God tells us that he sets before us life and death. Well, that's kind of what this is saying. We have to make that choice. It's kind of an analogy I'd like to do. You know, we like to garden. I don't do the farming and stuff, but we like to do a large garden. Whether you're gardening or farming, you don't plant a seed in the ground and at the end of the growing season expect to go take a spade and go dig that seed back up. It's like, wow, I got the seed I left last, spring in the ground. It's not the way it works. You plant a seed, and you want that seed to grow into a nice big plant and produce extra of what you planted. And that's kind of what God wants in us, is he wants to put that Holy Spirit in us and see us use that, desire that, want that way of life. And if we do that, we start producing the fruits. Or it would be like planting an apple tree, and it grows into a big tree, produces one apple with one little seed in it. Usually they have four, but one healthy seed in it, and then the tree dies. Well, where have you gained? You started with the seed and end up with the seed. It just doesn't gain anything. I'd like to turn to the real common parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. And starting in verse 20. So I'm going to go kind of into the last half of this. So who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside them. He doubled what God had gave him. He doubled and produced. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he who had received 2 talents and came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. He doubled what God gave him. So proportionally, he made the same progress. He started with less, but he still doubled the product. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I want to make a point of the saying, enter in the joy of the Lord. What is that? It's God's kingdom. It's what God promises to us. He's saying, you're faithful here. I'll give you this. I'll give you eternal life. That's what God is seeking in us. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said to the Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. And the next verse, it says, I was afraid. Fear will destroy us. And the Bible plainly states that the fearful won't be in God's kingdom. We can't be afraid all the time about things, because if we're afraid, we're not trusting God. Trust in God and fear don't go together. And so he had this 1 talent, and he hid the talent into the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. So he handed it back. He didn't have any increase at all. If he would have doubled that and handed 1 talent back in addition to the talent God gave him, he would have said the exact same thing, well done, good and faithful servant. But he didn't. It wasn't about 5, 2, or 1. It was about, did they double or produce fruits? And so he didn't produce the fruits because of fear. It's like, it can't stay the same. Like I start out saying, just as we are, how's that going to work out? If God gives us his Holy Spirit, gives us that seed, and we just hand that seed back to him, in a sense, how's that going to work out? Life is hard, and it's hard to produce those fruits, but we have to keep working at that to be a part of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a gift, but he's going to give that as a gift or a reward for the obedience that people have toward his way. Those who endure hardship and trials and training, in a sense, with the right attitude, benefit greatly. But just surviving a trial doesn't gain us anything. You can survive all kinds of heartaches, hardships, health issues, all kinds of things. Surviving is not the gain. There are those that sometimes just get bitter over what they go through. And then you're just bitter. You still went through the trial. So it's like we have to let God work with us, let God mold us, and try to learn through those things. I like to ask God, help me learn through this trial the first time. I don't really want to repeat this. If it's a hard thing you go through, if we learn it the first time, and I used to explain this to my girls all the time, if we have a problem and we're dealing with it and we can conquer it, in a sense, not make the problem go away, if we can just control the situation, control our attitude, and learn what God wants us to learn, that problem may never go away. It may never go away. But if we've learned to conquer it, control it, deal with it, then it's no longer really a problem. You just set it aside and go on. So some trials may stay with us our lifetime. Paul was inflicted with something, and he asked. God said no. But he allowed Paul to go through that, and he learned from it, and he went on. So learning the first time is nice. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 times. Hopefully not, but sometimes it does. So we just have to, in a sense, conquer that. We just struggle through them, but we can't get bitter by it. We have to cope with it and learn from it and we can't be drugged down by those trials. We have to learn from them and move on. The sower and the seed, I won't really turn to this, I just want to bring this out. The sower and the seed It says, some were on good ground, some were on stony ground, some by the wayside, some in the thorns, right? So there's different places we can be. And so we all know the parable real well. So the question that I want to ask is, where do we put ourselves? God doesn't throw us in the weeds. God doesn't throw us on a piece of stony ground. It doesn't work that way. God will let us learn sometimes where, in the places we put ourselves. Do we choose the right environment for growth and learning? I've used this example before, but do we go to the local bar late at night to hang out with people to be a light to them? Who gains from who on that? Do we go to a casino, play the slot machines, to learn how to budget and finance? Okay, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Do we go to a wild party somewhere with our friends to socialize and build character? It doesn't work that way. If we put ourselves on bad ground, we're on bad ground. We'll lose out. So we have to try to put ourselves in the places that are better. You know, a lot of times I know this world's evil and there's a lot of crime and you hear about all these shootings and muggings. Okay, sometimes they happen plain broad daylight. But there's so many times I've heard of these things. They're at 2 o'clock in the morning on a street by a bar somewhere. So it's like a lot of problems can be prevented by being in the right place, avoiding places we know that are dangerous or of a bad influence. If we avoid that kind of ground, we have a much better potential to grow. Most of us know what quicksand is. You know, it looks like sand. It looks harmless, like on a beach. But it's full of liquid. And even our creek at home has a little bit of this, not in a major way, but you'll step in it, and it feels solid at first, and all of a sudden you're up to your knees. And then it's really hard to get out of the stuff. It kind of just sucks you in. Well, the bad environments are kind of that way. They look harmless if you're not paying attention. I mean, you can tell they're not harmless, but you step on a bad spot on the sand like that, and shoo, sucks you down. And those bad environments can do that. They can kind of draw you in and pull you down really quick. So avoiding places that we know are not promising or not healthy for us helps us tremendously. I know personally, I've talked to people in church in the past, and this was even when, back years ago, when there was a YOU camps and stuff, the summer camps. I remember one case in particular where I was talking to an individual and from a reputable family, and he was bragging about the fact that he wanted to sow his wild oats, just go out and sow his wild oats when he turned 18, and then repent and come back to God's church. Guess where that led? He never came back. It sucked him in just like quicksand. He wanted the best of both. He thought this was good and this was good. He wanted both, but he wanted this a little bit more, and it pulled him in. And it's sad because he chose that way knowingly. He seen God's way. His parents had taught him, but he didn't want it. He threw it away. The old concept of a deathbed repentance, it's kind of like live your life, enjoy life, and then just right at the last minute, repent and go into God's kingdom. That doesn't work out so well either. You know, you have a sudden traumatic death. Well, you didn't have time to repent. So that's a sure way to lose out on God's kingdom. We have to be focused each and every day. We have to make those choices leading to the goal of God's kingdom. Those choices that lead us to a life of learning and to growth, and don't lead us to destruction. We've got to avoid those kind of problems. You know, God plainly states in the Bible, he sets before us life and death, and choose life. He even gives us a hint. And it has to be important to us, or like this guy knew, something else got his attention. He became that little mouse the cat was watching, and it caught him. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So it's a choice. God sets before us life and death. It's a choice. We can serve the master of the temptation and the world's draw, or we can seek the kingdom of God. That's the choice we have. We can't walk the fence. It never works out. Never works out. You know, an example in the Bible, I won't turn to this one, but Solomon. Solomon had it all in a worldly sense. He had the power. He had the wealth beyond measure. He even had wisdom more than most people. God had blessed him with the wisdom. He started out seeking God's guidance. He desired God's guidance in how to rule the people. And he lost sight. He got distracted by all of his projects and by the women and things in his life. He got distracted. He had one master, and it wasn't God. He chose the wrong thing. And hopefully, you know, he repented. It's one of those things to wait and see. If not, maybe it'll change later. But he had one master. So we have one master as well. And that's our choice. Do we choose God or do we choose this world? I've always been fascinated by gold mining. Just one of those things. It just kind of intrigues me. Whether it's like gold mining or metal detecting, it's like kind of seeking something of value. And I've read stories about gold mines where people would stop digging and the gold was 3 feet further down the tunnel and somebody else would find it. So we have to seek the kingdom of God like we would seek gold. You know it's in there. Just keep digging until you find it. And we have to desire that and never give up the search. Never give up fighting for God's way. Every day is one day closer to God's kingdom. Every single day is one day closer. And that's the way we have to look at it, is just one step forward and keep working toward that goal. You know, our treasure, you know, God says to choose your treasure, basically. Our treasure is not on this earth. We seek the kingdom. We seek something God, that man can't take from us. No one can take that from us. Treasures of the earth, moth, rust, thieves can take it. You know, things can take that treasure away from you. And God's kingdom can't be taken from us. We may lose our life, but we can't lose that if we hang on to it. And we have to especially be careful not to ever give it away. That's the only way we lose out on God's kingdom, is if we willingly let go of it. If you're always hanging on to that treasure that God gives us, if we hold that dear to our heart and never let go, then we'll be there. God will see that we make it. He will give us the help we need. But we can just as easily get distracted and give that away. And we have to be careful of that. So how do we learn? God opens our mind. That's the key to it. That's where it starts. He calls us with repentance. He makes the process possible and helps us see where we need to change. So he gives us those open doors. He gives us the answers we need. And he expects us to walk through the door to keep moving forward. We have to work with God's Holy Spirit. You know, that's another way that we learn. You know, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, or strengthens me is the way the verse reads. We can never succeed on our own, but God won't, or through Jesus Christ, won't do it for us either. We have to work hard and God will give us the difference. And with that combination, it's all possible. We have to read the instruction manual. Okay, I'm not real good about that typically. I get a box of something and it has an instruction manual how to assemble it. I try to put the thing together and most of the time I figure it out. Sometimes there's missing parts and I have to go back and figure out what I left out, why I missed these extra, you know, things. So it is important to read that manual, and the manual to us is the Bible. Know what the Bible says. Know what God's trying to teach us. He guides us through all the difficulties in the learning process if we read how he says to handle it. Learning takes time. It never happens overnight. It's a lifelong process. And we have to fight for education. We can't just take it kind of haphazardly. We have to fight for it. It's going to be difficult and a challenging thing to reach. But we have to desire and really want God's way of life. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and starting in verse 7. And this is Paul. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, but also those who have loved his appearance. We have to love God's way of life. We have to want that way of life and desire it and reach for it. And, you know, he makes it plain here that it will be given to him. He didn't earn it. God will give him that blessing. But it's for us as well if we stay faithful to God and seek and desire the appearing of Christ in a sense when he returns and that next step in God's plan. Another way we learn is prayer and fasting. Sometimes we need that extra help. And the example in the Bible where they couldn't cast out demons because they didn't pray and fast about it. So Christ was telling them, you need to do this. You need to go that extra step to draw close to God. And when we draw close to God, Satan flees. So being really close to God is a good thing. We need to use the armor that God gives us. You know, the Bible speaks of that. And to draw close to him, and the closer we can be, the better off we are. Another thing I'd like to bring out is we're to encourage each other. We need that encouragement. No, it's not a social club, but we need each other, those of like mind. You know, the Bible says, talk it often to one another as the day approaches. We seek God's kingdom. We know the world's not a good place anymore. So we need that encouragement from each other as things get worse. We have a common goal, and it helps to keep our mind focused on something positive. You know, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. One's not harder than the other, they're the same, iron and iron. It's not about friction, you know, it's just like one sharpens the other. Okay, yes, that happens, but that's not really what it's about. It's about learning from each other. It's not the friction or abrasive qualities. I knew somebody one time that said he just loved conflict because it solves problems. It's like, how do you figure that? But he looked at it as when conflicts came up, then it meant you had to make a solution to it. But how about you avoid the conflict in the first place? Ironing sharpened iron is like we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. So iron and iron would be like taking our strengths and somebody else's strengths and helping each other, or our weaknesses are helped by somebody else's strength. So it's a combination of two people helping each other that helps us both become sharper. It helps us both become closer to God through that process even. You know, the Bible's, we can just turn here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. He has no one to help him up. And again, if two lie down together and they keep warm, how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. So in numbers, it helps. As a church, we can help each other. And the fact that we're of like mind reaching for the same goal, we can support and encourage each other through those difficult times. And that's what it's explaining here, is the fact that there is a purpose for being together. We talk to each other, talk often to one another. We encourage each other. It makes us stronger overall having that time together. Sabbath services are important to assemble because we can be here, talk about that hope, talk about the encouragement that we get. You know, we're called to learn. That's our whole purpose in human life. That's it. We're called to learn. It's not about having a good life and success and, you know, careers. That's not what God calls us for. God calls us to learn His way of life, and He's building a family, and He wants us to all have that frame of mind that He has. You know, like He called David a man after God's own heart. Okay, David made mistakes, but God seen a heart in him that was good, a desire to follow Him, to repent when he made a mistake. God seen value in that. And we need to be learning in this lifetime because that's all it's about. It's just making that growth. We need to keep learning and keep producing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. We absolutely need to grow. We don't want to take the talent or the Holy Spirit God gives us and throw it away. We can all learn together, and we can all be in God's kingdom together as one big family.